Hey, I want to wish you a good evening tonight on a rainy evening here in the greater Fayetteville area. We're in Hope Mills here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, joining together in person, amen, and online. Let's stand together. Some of you will know these choruses. If you don't know them, catch on because there's a lot of repetition in them. And we used to sing a lot of choruses, right, Pastor, when we were younger. And the joy of the Lord is my strength is one of them. Now, you'll notice there's a lot of scripture in these songs, and there are a lot more songs we could teach you that we would call choruses that have a lot of scripture in them. This one goes like this, sing it if you know it.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
He gives me living water.
He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. He gives me living water, and I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
All right, and then this one.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Sing it.
I will call upon the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Let's sing again.
I will call upon the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
And then one more. Go to the next one, Mike.
My Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. is mine always, and all I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way to the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow.
Great singing.
The only thing missing is campfire and the marshmallows. Yeah. All right, I want to read another missionary letter to you. And this one is from Rick and Nancy Montez, our missionaries with the Central America, with the Mercy Ships. And they dock down there, and they take medical trips, take teens down there to work in different areas. And he says, "Dear pastors, churches, praying friends, we want to thank all of you for your faithful prayers and support, especially during the time of COVID-19. Since March, it has been very difficult for us to be able to travel to Central America, and many of our meetings and conferences were canceled or postponed. We have enjoyed being with our home church, West Fayetteville Baptist, and we have been able to serve here when or wherever needed. So thankful that the Lord has kept us safe and healthy. We had our annual golf fundraiser in September in Pennsylvania. We normally have this in June. But thank the Lord, we had a good turnout and raised over $11,000 that will be used for fuel for the Mercy's vessel. We had a trip planned on the ship in November. The port shut down due to COVID, and they had to cancel. So they're just waiting for the ports to be reopened so they can get down there. So they were able to attend a conference. It doesn't really say exactly where. Just the name of the church is Nottingham Missionary Baptist. And Rick was able to preach and to also do some things around the church that needed to be done. So we're very thankful we're able to support these missionaries, and such as Justin and Rachel Rhodes to London. And then Rick and Nancy, I worked with Rick on the staff at Berean. You worked with them too, didn't you, Pastor Ken? We were all there together. And then who was it I read this morning? The Cruises. They were missionaries to D.C. So very thankful. I got here a little early tonight. And I was sitting down in my office and started hearing these feet with flip-flops coming out. I thought it was Kim. But it was Stephanie Turner. And so they wanted to give a thank you note. So I'm going to read from Stephanie and also from Maury. They both wrote in this card. So Stephanie says, "Friends of Lighthouse, we are grateful for the encouraging cards and messages during our time of need. Thanks so much for remembering us in prayer. Maury is encouraged and loves the blanket, loving Christ, Stephanie." And Maury writes, "Dear ladies of Lighthouse, thank you so much for the wonderful blanket. It will comfort me in the months to come, and I will always remember the sweet spirit and hands that made it, loving Christ, Maury Turner." So let me give you an update. He stayed in the car, and I walked out and spoke to him and had prayer with him. But news does not look good for Maury. He is taking chemo, but apart from bone marrow transplant, it is, without the Lord intervening, it's terminal. So they're going back and forth to Duke about twice a week, but his blood levels look good, according to Stephanie. To look at him, you can definitely tell he's very sick. They cannot put him on a strong dosage of chemo because he has some underlying heart issues, and they're scared that if they put him on a heavier dose of chemo, that would put him in congestive heart failure, and so they can't do that. But they're praying for a donor or a match, and they'll do the bone marrow transplant. I told him about Dr. David Jeremiah's book that he wrote some number of years ago, where he went through this very exact same thing of leukemia, had to have bone marrow transplant. Now, what they did was with his, and it was experimental at the time, but I think it's standard now, they will put the patient in strict isolation. They will remove the patient's bone marrow. They will then blast it with huge dosages of radiation and chemo. And then they will put the bone marrow back into the patient, and then he will go through more rounds of chemo. And they have had great results from that, and that's been, wow, I'm going to say at least 15, 20 years ago since Dr. David Jeremiah went through that. So I told him about that. Read Dr. David Jeremiah's book on that. So anyway, keep him in your prayers, if you will, please. All right, let's get our prayer sheets out. Let's spend some time in prayer tonight. Maury is on our prayer sheet. But it was funny, as we were talking, and he said, I've been going through all of these cards, and he said, your friends at Lighthouse Baptist Church or something on the card. He said, I don't even know who these people are, because many of y'all have come after they had left. But he said, you know, that just touched his heart and his soul that even though some of you do not know them, know Maury and Stephanie, you're still praying for him. So he was very, very encouraged by that. So let's look at our prayer sheet tonight, and let's go over some prayer requests. See, Audrey spent some time this afternoon or Sonia did, yes. Why did I say Audrey? I guess they'll say sit over there all the time. But she spent some time with Noel and Ennis today, and doing well. Continue to pray for them, if you will, and as they are looking to downsize from the house that they're in now into another home and having yard sales. So if you're a yard sale person, they are having yard sales every Saturday for this month until she gets rid of everything that she has accumulated now for 50 plus years, I guess. And so she's going through a whole bunch of things and furniture and figurines and all sorts of things that she has collected. So if you're interested, go by there and check out what she's got. All right. So continue to pray for your church needs, if you will, please. So with that being said, let me give you a few announcements, and then we'll have our time of prayer together. The 25th of this month, we're going to be having a members-only business meeting, and that business meeting is going to consist of two new deacons being voted in, and then we'll be voting to make two. I initially said this morning, one amendment to the Constitution, and that is that an elder can be paid or a layman. But we're going to make another amendment, and that is in regard to the Bible translations. Okay, in the original Constitution right now, it has that the King James and the New King James are the preferred versions or translations. We're going to add the ESV and the New American Standard to those, so we can use Sunday school teachers, pastors, preachers, teachers, elders, you can use one of those four. Once again, there's copies back there on the table if you want to grab one and look it over. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Okay? And then also, we're going to be looking at the budget, discussing the budget, and then we'll be voting on the budget in November. So those are some key things we're going to be looking at. All right? So continue to pray, if you will, for our church. And as we go through some growing pains, continue to pray. And then pray for the lost, if you will. Sean got a text today from Jacob's wife, Kendall, her son up in Boston. And he was admitted to the hospital today because of a rapid heart rate. They don't think it's serious. They think it's because of all the energy drinks he's been drinking. But they're keeping him in overnight just to keep an eye on him. So if you would, pray for him. That's Jacob Salar. And then continue to pray for all of these that are lost, if you will. A lot of them are family members. Our treasurer, Aaron Burke, he has all of his brothers on here that are lost. Some of them are atheists. They're Jews. But they just don't believe in the Messiah. you know, believe in Christ as the Messiah. So continue to pray for them, if you will. So many with health concerns, with cancer. My mother is going to Chapel Hill tomorrow for a biopsy to confirm that the tumor in her right kidney is cancerous. And then she'll be going back 2 weeks from tomorrow to have an injection into the tumor to freeze the tumor. So the next couple of weeks for my mother are going to be a little disconcerting, to say the least. And then we've got so many others that have health issues. Continue to pray for Lucas Massia, if you will, and the seizures that he has. And then the general needs, Gerald traveling all the time and this weather going on. And then so many that have been affected by COVID, our shut-ins, our missionaries, our government, especially the upcoming 2020 election. If you'll continue to pray for that, if you will, and then those in the military. All right. Do we have anything on your mind? Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's all you know. Okay. All right. Was it cancerous, or did he say? He's not. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. We'll continue to pray for that. All right. And they're saying your brother is doing well, doing better. All right. Good. And what's his name again?
Philip.
Okay. All right, so let's continue to pray for him. Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, praise the Lord because of COVID.
Yes.
Wow, praise the Lord for that. Awesome. Yeah. How big is his ministry there in Kenya?
Their church is probably 25.
Really? Okay. Okay.
All
right. Right. Okay. 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 Yeah. Well, next time he comes back to the States, I'd love to have him here and present his ministry. And it might be we could take him on. How long has he been there? 11 years. Wow. Okay. Out there with all the snakes. Asking for pictures. Creepy crawlies just give me the creeps, man. I tell you. Yes, sir. All right. Awesome. All right. Anything else? Good crowd for Sunday night. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Your mom. Is she just still sore? Recuperating. Still sore. Okay, all right, just from the muscles. Well, you're lucky. Yeah, man, if you went to the valley here in Fayetteville, you'd still be there. Okay. I'm not joking. Okay. All right, anything else tonight? All right, well, let's pray together. And as we pray, I'll pray out loud if you'll pray silently at your seat. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. Okay. And both of them tested positive for COVID, right? All right. And they're late 70s, early 80s. Okay. And for those of you that are old Bereans here, that remember Vonda Chapman, her father, I caught news the other day that her father passed away. So let's pray for Vonda and her mother. Her mother has Alzheimer's, so that's why Vonda left working at Berean to go down to Georgia to help take care of her parents. Just a very, very good friend of ours. Wonderful teacher. Just a great mentor to teachers. And funny story about Vonda. And those of you that know Vonda will be able to know about. Vonda could be a very intimidating person, say the least. She is probably about this tall. But her intimidation makes up for it. And she was the dean of women at Crown College when Crown College first started opening. And Steve Bishop told me that when they would pull pranks on the girls in the dorms, And Vonda Chapman would come out, they would scram because they knew that when Vonda was on the prowl, then, they were in trouble. So she is a special friend of ours. And she wrote a note. This shows the impact that teachers have on children. When Bradley was a senior in high school, I think it was when he broke his collarbone or sometime during his senior year, she was very good about writing notes, get well cards and that sort of thing. She wrote Bradley a very lengthy get well card. And I was going through, this is just about 3 or 4 years ago, I was going through some of Bradley's stuff and found a book from his high school English class. And there was all sorts of notes because, you know, they had to write notes inside the margins for their book reports and all that. Inside of it was that card. He never threw it away. And that just shows, evidently, that card meant something to Bradley, that he had received something from Miss Chapman. So never take things for granted. Take things that sending somebody a get-well card or, you know, like with Maury, you know, sending a get-well card or sending a little note that I'm praying for you, thank you note. Those things mean a lot to people. And so never think that, you know, I'm just sending a birthday card. No, those things mean a lot to people. All right? All right, anything else tonight before we pray? All right, well, let's pray together maybe. Our Father God in heaven, we do praise you today for so many things. And there are so many things that we just need to praise you for. And we praise you for your love for us. We praise you, Father, for the creation that you have given to us, for us to enjoy. We praise you, Father, for your love and compassion, for the gift of salvation, for the gift of repentance, for your Son, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for your Word, for the freedoms that you have given us, for how even in so many people have tested positive for COVID, that you have preserved us and you have watched over us here. And Father, we pray for those that have been affected and are being affected right now by COVID as they are trying to recover. We do lift them before you. And Father, we pray for this church. Father, we pray for the leadership. We pray for every member, every attender. We pray that we would be a blessing to so many. And Father, I pray that you would continue to use us in a mighty way. And Father, we pray for the lost. We pray tonight that you would just draw so many that are on our prayer sheet that do not know the Lord. We pray, Father, that you would draw them unto yourself and help them to realize that there is an eternity and that before they know it, eternity will be upon them. And as James said, that life is a vapor, appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Help them to realize, Father, that sudden events could come upon them, and before they know it, they are either in heaven, if they know Christ, or in hell without Christ. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would work and help them to realize that they need to repent and trust Christ. And Father, we pray for every person that has cancer. We pray for Maury Turner. Father, we pray that there will be a donor out there, Father, that could donate the bone marrow to them, and that they could, that he could recover. And we are looking forward to the day that he can come here and stand before our church and declare that he has been in remission and is on the way to a complete healing. We pray for Stephanie and their family as they are going through this ordeal together. And Father, we pray for so many others that have health needs. We pray for those with general needs. We pray for our government. We pray for our elections. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for our missionaries, those in the military, going through school and going through deployments and going through training. We pray for them tonight. And Father, I pray now that you would be with us tonight as we look at your word, as we look at the sins of Isaac and Rebekah. And Father, I pray that if there's any area in our life that we are maybe leaning towards the same sin that they committed, may we be convicted and repent and forsake from it. And Father, we love you and we thank you for this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. All right, I do see that there's a lot of people that are watching tonight. And so thankful for the technology. Can you imagine 10, 15, 20 years ago if COVID would have hit, how we'd have been without the technology that we have today? We'd have to rely on CDs or cassettes. And so I'm very thankful that we have the technology that we have to be able to broadcast and to send out our messages. I do see one of our friends from Beacon Baptist in Raleigh that is watching us, and thankful for that. But tonight we're going to look at the sin of Isaac and Rebekah. So we are going through the book of Genesis, and you know, there's not a whole lot said about Isaac and Rebekah except for this chapter 26 and then going into chapter 27. Not really a whole lot said about them. Or 25, 26, and 27. And then a little bit in chapter 28. But what is said about them is very powerful. And what is said about them is not only very powerful, but also very tragic. So let me give you a couple of points, and then we'll get right into the chapter tonight. So the first point that I want to give you as a matter of introduction tonight is this chapter, and then going into chapter 28, we see one of the most tragic events in the Old Testament. Not only the sin of Isaac and Rebekah, but also what follows. And we'll talk about that next Sunday night, and what follows with Esau and with Jacob. So this is a most tragic event or series of events in the Old Testament. So these tragic events in this chapter, in the beginning of chapter 28, is what happens when people disregard the will of God. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. James talked about it, that we like to make plans. We like to make plans. We like to make changes in our life. We like to go from one job to another job, or we'll change from one city to another city. And as I said this morning in Sunday school, I do know that we live in a military town, and if you're enlisted in the military, you really don't have a whole lot of say-so of where you go to live. But if you're in the civilian world, you do have some say-so. And in reality, what you need to pray for if you're in the military is you need to pray for God that God will direct you to the right base that you need to go to, that God will use you in the best way possible, that He can use you while there. There's one great thing. Now, pastoring in a military town has its pros and its cons. Okay, the pros are you get to reach multiple types of people. The cons is you don't have them for very long. So you'll get to meet them. You'll invest your life in them. You'll become good friends. And then before you know it, they're gone. And your heart's broken again. But then another crew will come in and it starts all over again. But what we're doing, though, as we send those families out to go to another base, we're actually sending out missionaries. We're sending missionaries to go to another base and to reach other families at that base, to be an encouragement to a pastor, to be active members of that church while they're at that duty station. But what happens so many times, as James was talking about, we make career changes, we choose our career path, we retire, and then we move, or we make a career change. You know, in the military, if you go in at 18, 19, 20, you can retire when you're in your late 30s, early 40s, and then you can choose another career. Many do that. But they do that without really praying about it. High school juniors and seniors graduate from high school and they don't pray about what they're going to do when they graduate from college. They don't pray about their career path. Many young people and even middle-aged people will marry and not pray about their spouse that they're marrying. And we see it so many times. So what happens here is there are two people by the name of Isaac and Rebekah that make decisions without regard to God's will and without regard to God's purpose. So now let's look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 27. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, and he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son," he said to him, "here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." So let's look at the first point tonight. The first sin that we're going to look at tonight is Isaac's sin. Isaac's sin. And what was his sin? He attempted to bypass God's will. He attempted to bypass God's will. Now, let me ask you a question before we go into point A. Let me throw this out to you. How is it that a man by the name of Isaac, whose father was Abraham, his father was called a friend of God. The only person in scriptures that was called a friend of God was Abraham, who had received so many promises and was told of so many promises that would be fulfilled through his seed, and had conveyed those promises to his son Isaac. Isaac had seen firsthand of how God could work. Remember when Abraham had taken Isaac to Mount Moriah, and he asked his father, he said, "Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, where's the lamb?" What does Abraham say? "God will provide for himself a lamb." So Isaac has seen firsthand the works of God. But what does he do here? He followed God, but he instead, though, he goes against God's will. So the first thing that I want us to look at tonight, Isaac did what he desired. And what did he desire? He ignored what God said. He totally ignored what God said. So let's look at the very beginning, once again, of verse 1. "Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, and he called his older son Esau and said to him, 'My son,' he said to him, 'here I am.'" Does he consult God? Does he pray to God? Does he consult the whole family together? He did what he desired. He knew what God's will for Jacob was. He knew that it was God's will for Jacob to receive the blessing. But he, in his mind, had other plans. He made a plan to bless Esau instead of Jacob. He thought that he could bypass God's will. Now, we need to remember here that this was direct disobedience to God. This was direct contrary to God's word. Went totally against what God had said. And Isaac knew what God had said and what God had told him. So Isaac knew. I want you to get a key point here. Isaac also knew this about Esau. What kind of character did Esau have? Did Esau have the kind of character that he cared about the things of God? Because I want you to look back at chapter 26. And let's look at verses 34 and 35. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, and they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. So did he have any concern whatsoever about the concerns that Isaac and Rebekah had? No, he could care less. He didn't care. He was going to do what he wanted to do. So let's look at another thing. Isaac acted in secret. He acted in secret. Who did he call about the blessing, about the food? Did he call Rebekah and Jacob and Esau together and said, "Hey, it's time for me to give the blessing. Let's have this dinner and this party that we will follow this custom"? No, he calls Esau. And I think he did it in such a way that he did not want Rebekah and he did not want Jacob to know about it. So he does it in secret. He only calls Esau. He doesn't think anybody else is going to know about it. He doesn't think that anybody else is going to hear about it. He thinks, I can call Esau in. Esau can go out and hunt that deer or hunt that game, bring it in, prepare it. We can have the feast, and I can give Esau the blessing and totally disregard what God says. But then the second thing, or third thing I want to give you tonight with this, is that Isaac knew, he knows that his time on earth was short. Okay, let's look at verse 2. Isaac said, "Behold now, I am old and do not know the day of my death." Now, if you look back at verse 2, it says that Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see. He was blind. Okay? Somebody did some adding. Not me, because you know how I am with math. It is believed that Isaac was about 137 years old. So if Isaac is 137 years old, Esau and Jacob were about 77 years old. I don't know of very many people that live past 137. In fact, I don't know any that's lived past 137. I don't know very many. In fact, I have never met a person that lived to be 100. My great-grandmother lived to be 96, I think. Maybe either 94 or 96. That's the oldest person I've ever known. But 137. Okay, probably, you know, by this time, cataracts has grown over his eyes to where he can no longer see. And Esau and Jacob, because they were twins, they were 77. So Isaac knows that his days on earth are limited. So his time was short. Now, I want you to notice something else in verse 3. "Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow." Sorry, Mike, he didn't have a shotgun. Yeah. "Go out to the field and hunt game for me." So what's the point here? Okay, he's just a hunter. He tells them to go hunt game for him. Well, here's a key point. We think that Esau is just doing what he likes to do, and that is hunt. No, there is a spiritual issue here. And the spiritual issue is this. He ignores the total irresponsible behavior. Isaac does. He ignores the total irresponsible behavior of Esau. Esau knows. He knows that the birthright, the blessing is to be given to Jacob. He's known that all of his life. Since he was a young lad, he has known all of his life that the blessing, he's already forfeited the birthright. See, that should show right there to Isaac that Esau cares nothing about the family. Because he was hungry, he wanted to eat, so he gave away the birthright. Gave it away to Jacob. Now there's the blessing. So Esau agrees with Isaac here. He says, okay, I agree with you. Okay, you're going to try to bypass God? I'll help you. I want the blessing. I'll help you. I'll go along with it. It was time now for Esau to step up and say, no. The blessing is to go to Jacob. But he doesn't. He does what he wants to do. So then Isaac does this. He follows the custom of the day. He follows the custom of the day. Let's go to verse 4. Here it says, prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. Okay, you see the pattern here. The pattern is, okay, let's go back a couple of weeks ago, or maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. We talked about favoritism, of how one parent can show favoritism to one child and the other parent will show favoritism towards the other child, and that never works out very well. Okay, all that does is breed rebellion and breed dislike and in some cases maybe even hatred and bitterness between the siblings. Okay, the one sibling will say, well, you're the golden child, and the other child will say, well, yeah, I know, but I'm the redheaded stepchild. Mama loved you more than me and Daddy loved you more than me. And what does that do? It's inconsistency in the life of the parents, and you know as well as I do, that when there is inconsistency among the parents, what is that going to do in the heart of the child? It's going to breed rebellion. So what is in the heart of Esau? Is it obedience or is it rebellion? It's rebellion. So Esau, all of his life, has lived the life of rebellion. So Isaac now is following the custom of the day. Now let me explain to you the blessing. Explain to you the blessing. I'm gonna read it straight to you here. So if you'll just bear with me here as I read to you the importance of the blessing. So in ancient times, the blessing of a father was a very significant event. It was a time set aside when the father transferred the birthright and family inheritance over to his son, usually the oldest. However, if the older son proved unworthy, the father could pass the blessing to a younger son. The blessing was a legal and binding contract and always included the birthright or inheritance of the father. So what was the blessing to entail? It would be the promise of the promised land and then the promise of the promised seed that would come through a new race of people and have the very special seed of the coming Messiah. Okay, so that's the sin of Isaac. Now, Rebekah was not innocent, by no means. Okay, so now let's look at the sin of Rebekah. Okay, and this is going to be a very lengthy passage of Scripture, and we'll go either verse by verse, we'll go sections of verses. So the sin of Rebekah is that there was an attempt to work out God's will before God's time. Now, she wants God's will to be done, but she wants it to be on her timing, not God's timing. So many times, we know what God's will is, we know what God's timing is, we want to obey God's will, but we rush the timing. I've seen that with young couples getting married. They know that person is to be their mate for life, but instead of waiting till they graduate from college, instead of waiting until they can have a place to live and have a place that they can call their own and have a stable job, a stable career, they get married without having any of those things. And you know what that does? It's like Barney Fife said, heartaches and nothing but heartaches. Okay, they rush God's timing. Now, Rebekah knows God's will, and she is obeying God's will. She knows that Jacob is to receive the blessing. He's already got the birthright. He tricked Esau into getting the birthright by giving him the bowl of chili. That was an expensive bowl of chili. But now, she is going to make sure that he also gets the blessing. So how does she sin? Well, let's look at verses 5 through 7. Rebekah was listening. Okay? Now, where was she? She couldn't have been hiding. Because could Isaac even see that she was there? No. Or she could have been just standing outside the tent. But either way, she hears Isaac call Esau into the tent or to wherever Isaac was, and she possibly hides to hear what was going on, what was being said. So it says that Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me, that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.'" So the first point here is she tells Isaac that he was going to lose out on God's will. Okay? Now, what does this put in the heart of Jacob? Fear? Worry? I can't let that happen. The blessing is mine. I've already tricked my brother out of the birthright. Now, I have got to make sure that I get the blessing. So Rebekah here feels that she has to do something to stop Isaac. Who is she not trusting? She's not trusting the Lord. Has God already told Rebekah and Isaac that the younger will serve the older? Yes. But yet, neither one of them trusted it. So she takes Jacob, suggests to him that he was going to leave out or lose out on God's blessing, and God's will was not going to be fulfilled in his life. She tells them that Isaac was scheming or sneaking with Esau in order to give the blessing and the inheritance to Esau. So if that happened, they are thinking, if that happens, then God's will is going to be defeated. Is God's will ever defeated by man? Never. No, it's not. Man has been trying to do that for centuries and still yet to achieve it. But then there's a second thing, and that's in verses 8 through 10. Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death. Okay, so what's going on now? Well, very simply, she suggests a human plan to achieve God's will. Once again, she is trying to bypass God's timing. We need to remember this about God's timing. God's timing is always right. His timing is never wrong. His timing is always right. So how does she suggest it? Well, there's two ways that she suggests. Number one, that she is going to prepare the meat herself. You go and you get two young goats, two young lambs out of the flock, bring them to me, we'll slaughter them, and I will prepare the meat myself. And then, you will take the meat to Isaac. And here, you will receive the blessing. So now let's look at another thing. Now, we need to remember before we go to the next point, how weak was Rebekah's faith? Very weak. Now, she had faith. She believed in God. She believed in the promises of God. But she's not put in her actions in her faith. You following me? Okay? Yes, she has faith. But yet, she's not trusting that faith. She's not trusting the God of her faith. She knows God's will. After all, God has spoken to her about His will. Told him, or told her, that the younger will serve, or that the older will serve the younger. She was right when it talked about Isaac's sin, but yet in trying to push God's timing, she was wrong. She was wrong in that she did not trust God to work things out. She was trying to work out God's will before His timing by tricking her husband. And then she led Jacob to lie, to sin, and deceive his own father. You know, so many times we know God's will. We know it. We know what God's will is. We know what His timing is. And how do we know those things? Because we know it's through His Word. The Holy Spirit convicts us and guides us and leads us. You hear it in preaching. You hear it in teaching. God will use fellow believers in your life to point you in the right direction, to counsel you, or God may even open up doors and He may even close doors to make sure that you are following the right path for your life. And God's will for us is that we need to allow Him to be involved in so many areas of our life. Let me give you a summary here, and then I'll go to the next point. You know, we feel that we are going to lose out on God's will, so we try to bypass it on our own power. So what do? We devise our own plans. And then what else do? Well, that goes to the next thing. And that's in verses 11 through 13. Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Perhaps my father will fill me, then I will be a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. So what is going on now? Well, she convinces herself that the plan is a just plan. She rationalizes her sin. Do we not do that? We rationalize our own sin. We justify our own sin. We rationalize it. Well, I hate them because you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they mistreated me. Well, God knows it. So who do we need to let take care of it? God. God will take care of it. God will deal with it. Okay, so many times in our lives we try to rationalize in our own mind our sin. Okay, what did James say? James said that he that knoweth to do right and does not do it, to him it is sin. And there are verses 14 through 17. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, my father, and he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Now we'll stop there and we'll continue there next week. But the last part that I want to give you is she prepares for everything that could foil the plan. She prepares for everything that could foil the plan. She has a plan. The plan is to bypass God's will. She rationalizes. She justifies it in her own mind. So what does she do? Well, she prepares the food. And then she goes and she gets the skins from the animal and she somehow ties them to his hands and to his arms and to the back of his neck to make him so that when Isaac does bless him and touches his arms and touches the back of his neck, it has the appearance of feeling that person that he's talking to and blessing is actually Esau. So let me give you a couple of points, a couple of applications, and then we'll finish out the rest of this chapter next week. Our flesh is desperately weak. Let's go to a couple of portions of Scripture. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's look at verse 9. Okay, if you don't believe in the total depravity of man, all you have to do is read this verse. Now, what do we mean by the total depravity of man? That man is born sinful. And that every man is born desperately wicked. Totally depraved. Okay, the heart is more deceitful than all else. Now, as good looking as I am, and as nice as a guy as I am, my heart can be deceitfully wicked. Don't ask my wife about any of that. She's over there nodding. Yeah, you are. Okay, we all have the capacity to sin. We do sin. But before we came to know the Lord, we were deep in sin. Deserve hell. But the Lord in His mercy, He saved us. So it says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Or in the King James it has, is desperately wicked. And who can understand it? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 7. in verses 21 and 22 and 23. Okay, you know what I believe, Tyler? I believe that there will be more religious people in hell than non-religious. I believe that there will be many people that attend church on a regular basis that are in hell because they trusted their self-righteousness for salvation rather than trusting Christ. You know, that is why Christ got into the faces and confronted to the faces of the Pharisees. Because they were trusting their self-righteousness rather than trusting the Savior. So what do we see in these verses, 21, 22, and 23? We see people that are trusting their self-righteousness. Because what does it say? They are trusting in their, before we read it, they are trusting what? They're trusting their religious activities. They are trusting their legalism. They're trusting that they have been in Sunday school for 40 years straight. I've never missed a Sunday. So I must be a Christian. Or some huckster out there that fills up a massive arena with thousands of people and gives them a little sermonette and tells them how they can have a right attitude about life, and then they can get into heaven because they have the right attitude. Or they put on shows of where they heal the sick and cast out demons. What does Christ say here? He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not preach Mass? Did we not preach in the Mormon temple? Did we not, and then it goes on, did we not in your name cast out demons like Benny Hinn? Or TBN? Or the 4 o'clock in the morning on the cable TV channels of selling holy water? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And then the second point that I want to give you tonight is too often we make the same mistakes that both Isaac and Rebekah made. Now, what are those mistakes? Well, Isaac attempted to bypass God's will. He knew God's will, but he attempted to bypass it. But then secondly, Rebekah tried to rationalize her sin. She tried to justify it. She tried to rationalize it. Let's go to Psalms chapter 18 and verse 30. Okay, two more verses and then we'll pray and we'll go home in just a moment. But Psalm chapter 18 and verse 30. Okay, this should be a verse that we, maybe you should write on a 3x5 card, memorize, place it in a prominent spot, maybe on a mirror, maybe in your car. It says, "As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him." Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 55 and verses 8 through 9. Okay, we try to bypass God's will. We try to rationalize sin. We try to justify in our minds that we know more about our ways than God knows about our ways. We know more about our life than God does. So what are we trying to do here? We're trying to play God. In reality, what are we doing? We're making ourselves an idol. We're worshiping ourselves. So what does it say here? What does Isaiah say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So what do we need to do? We need to trust God's will. We need to trust God's timing. Don't try to bypass it. It's not trying to rationalize, justify our sin. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these lessons. And even though it is a very common chapter that is read so many times and preached so many times, but Father, we just never really realize the impact that the sin of Isaac and the sin of Rebekah could have upon a family and upon an individual. And Father, help us always to put our trust and faith in you, not to try to bypass your way and your will for our life, and also not to rationalize and justify our sin. And Father, I pray now as you dismiss us with thy blessing, and as we go into the upcoming week, I pray, Father, that you would bless us. I pray, Father, that you would use us. And may each and every day, when we wake in the morning, may we have a recommitment of our lives over to you. And Father, I pray that each and every day we would, first of all, want to live that day for your honor and for your glory, and to be obedient to you and to follow your will and way. And may your Holy Spirit guide us, comfort us, and in some ways convict us. And may we look to the cross and embrace the cross and embrace the Savior. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, have a great week. Hopefully we'll see you back Wednesday.